Hi, I'm not sure who's taking the minutes tonight, but Paul Stevens attending on my login as well.
Okay, thank you. It's Philippa. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you, Philippa. Yeah, so both of them are on the same login.
Okay, thank you.
There we go.
Philippa, do you agree with Councillor Whelan's clock that it's 7 o'clock?
Yes, I do now. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Well, everybody, this meeting may be recorded and data collected during the recording of the meeting will be retained in accordance with the Council's data retention policy. The recording of the meeting may be added to the Council's website. Can I ask you all in attendance to mute their microphones, announce their name before speaking, and can I remind members that the use of the instant messaging facility is for advising if a member wishes to speak or draw urgent attention, not to hold a conversation or put forward a point of view. The IM is strictly not for use by members of the public. Any member of the public that uses the IM inappropriately may be removed from the meeting. This is a virtual extraordinary cabinet meeting to be conducted in accordance with the Local Authorities and Police and Crime Panel Coronavirus Flexibility of Local Authority Police and Crime Panel Meetings, England and Wales Regulation 2020, number 392. Welcome everyone to the remote extraordinary cabinet meeting, including members and members of the public. For the benefit of the public, the following officers are in attendance: the Chief Executive, the Director of Regeneration, the Head of Policy, Communications and Customer Services, Monitoring Officer, Chief Financial Officer, Principal Solicitor from Mid Kent Legal, the Head of Planning Services, Planning Policy Manager and Democratic Services. So are there any apologies for absence?
Thank you, Chairman. No, there were no apologies this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. And are there any declarations of interest from any members of the Cabinet? I don't think there are. And will all members and members of the public be advised that the agenda is a Part A report for recommendation to the Council for next week's Council Special Council meeting. So we will go to the agenda item. At the end of the discussion, I will ask for a proposal and a seconder for any recommendations, but will everybody note that the recommendations from the local plan panel on the 19th of January 2021 are the same as the ones in this report. Can I just say, by way of introduction, we all know that the local plan and its review is extremely emotive and challenging task, because there are obviously strong local community interests in what is decided. When we've gone through tonight's meeting, we will have the full council meeting next week, and then we will go out to consultation for 6 weeks from February the 8th to March the 23rd. It is all a very slow process. It seems to me that much and most of this review reflects the priorities of the current administration, with affordable housing taking a strong stand and environmental and sustainability. But let's be clear, the need to allocate thousands of new homes is not a matter of choice for this council. We have to do it. It's what the government requires of us. And if we don't move forward, we risk losing responsibility for development control. We've had extensive discussion so far within Cabinet and through the local plan panel. I do believe that members have had opportunity to inform and engage their communities. Given the massive amount of written material we've got this evening, and given that this is just a process meeting in a sense, I have no intention of going right the way through the provisions of the plan. I'd like to thank officers for the tremendous amount of work they've done on this, and also the cabinet member. As the report says, it's one of the, if not the major function of a council, it's one of the most important functions of a council to establish a local plan, which, as I said, is a challenging thing to have to do. So what I would ask the cabinet to do is to go to the four recommendations. And I'm going to ask the cabinet member for planning and deputy leader to take us through them one by one. And if any member wishes to ask a question about any particular one of the recommendations after Councillor Baldock has spoken, then please indicate in the IM. So, Councillor Baldock, could you take us to the recommendations, please?
Yes, thank you, leader. And I'd like to echo your comments and praise for the planning office team, who have, I think, done a sterling job with this local plan review. The recommendations are, the first one is to note the summaries of remaining evidence for the local plan review. You should have received a number of a table of minor amendments as well, which reflect some of the points that have been made and some of the other issues that have risen as we go forward.
So Councillor Baldock, can we ask if anybody's got any questions to you on number one, recommendation one? Anybody? Okay, sorry, you carry on now.
Number two is that we agree the addendum to the statement of community involvement that sets out how the council will address COVID-related restrictions in light of the usual need to have hard copies of documents available for inspection. This is, you know, it is unfortunate that we're in this position and that a lot of the activities that might normally have gone ahead would have been able to, you know, would have been, are curtailed. We're going to make disk CD ROMs, I think, available for anybody who needs a copy of the local plan. Obviously, we can't put them in the library as usual. So there is a statement in the appendix, Appendix 4, I think, that would addresses how we're going to go about this. So that is recommendation 2.
Okay, Councillor Porter, I've got nobody indicating on that.
Chair, if I may, I'd like to
ask
a question on that.
Yep, go on.
I'd like to ask a cabinet member how people who don't have access to IT can engage in this consultation.
Can I call Jill Pete in on that, please?
Yes, please do. Jill, please.
Thank you. The telephone number for the office is included on the addendum, so people will be able to telephone in and we can deal with correspondence in the usual manner through the post.
Okay, thank I'm you. Not sure you follow the thrust of my question. How do they get to examine the local plan in the first place?
Okay, so what they would need to do in the first place is ring us up and we can take it from there. It might be that an informal chat with one of the planning officers will be sufficient. It might be that we would need to make arrangements to get paper copies of the document to them or to particular parts of the document if there was something that they were interested in specifically. Thanks.
Okay. Councillor Valentine, does that answer your question?
Well, I'm still a little puzzled how they might know whether there's anything they're specifically interested in if they're unable to examine the local plan online. It's a bit of a chicken and egg problem, isn't it?
Well, it is, but you understand. We are working under coronavirus conditions. It isn't economically feasible for us to actually print large numbers of this this local plan and distribute it widely. One only hopes that people work together.
I'm sorry, Nina, but you...
Go on, Tim. Tim, are you there?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I haven't heard you for about 40 seconds, I would say.
Okay.
The last thing you said that I heard was, sorry, Lydia. So I thought I'd better let you come in.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I was just saying that I hadn't heard the your response to the point I made. You dropped out for the first half of your comment.
Oh, okay. I was just asking you to consider the realities of the fact that we are under a coronavirus situation. It's just not economically, financially viable for us to print lots and lots of printed copies of the plan. So people are rather dependent on access to the internet. We know that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, but I do think
I think your point is valid, but you know, we don't live in perfect conditions at the moment. Councillor Baldock, do you want to start again?
Thank you. Yes, I mean, this consultation is the same as all other consultations that have to be undertaken under the COVID rules. It's something that every consultation has to face. How can you know if you want to comment on something if you can't read it? But that's the same for every consultation that has had to take place for the last year or so. But as the officer said, if somebody rings up with questions, they are there to guide people, to give advice, and if it turns out there is something in the plan that they would like further information on, then the officers can give that. I think all of us are pretty au fait with much of the local plan and can quickly get to any relevant aspects should people have questions, and I know Jill and her team will be.
Okay, let's go on to recommendation three then.
The third recommendation is to agree the local plan review pre-submission draft and accompanying documents as set out in Regulation 22 and commend them to Council for approval for the purposes of public consultation and submission to the Secretary of State in accordance with the Town and Country Planning Local Planning England Regulations 2012.
Right, that's the recommendation. Have you got anything you want to say about that?
Yep. I think that the reviewed local plan that we've put forward, none of us want to build the amount of houses that the government is imposing upon us. But I think what we've done is allocate housing that meets the administration's, the coalition's desire for better environmental housing, for more affordable and deliverable affordable housing. We've taken the opportunity to address what I think was missing in the past, which is housing for life and housing for elderly and disabled people. I think that's a huge step forward. And we have a large number of, large percentage of the housing will now be housing for life. So I think the sum of the new review makes for a far improved local plan. I don't think there's a plan B. I don't think there is. You know, there's no ideal solution to an imposed target. I think we've done the best we can. And I'm actually quite proud of the policies that are behind it as well.
Yeah, you're entitled to say that. Now, Lloyd, you want to come in? Lloyd Bowen?
Thank you, Leader.
Before you come in, I hope you're not hanging a hat and you're not going to repeat what you said at the local plan panel, or that you're not going to say anyway at full council next week, because obviously that's an opportunity for everybody to fight their corner. Having said that, carry on.
Thank you very much. I mean, first of all, that's speaking on for my group this evening, we do appreciate the challenges that working up a new local plan presents. We know it's no easy task, and it's a feat that you've actually managed to get this far. But there are two major flaws to start with. One is the transport modelling. The KCC have not agreed what's within the proposal, so you're working off of strange figures. And changes to the other one is changes to the government algorithm, that all authorities have been told that housing numbers will be reshaped after they've abandoned their algorithm. But we're pressing ahead now on something which we don't actually know about. It could be that the housing figures reduce in the coming weeks or months, and yet we have we're looking to agree a local plan at full council and then put it out to consultation on numbers which may not be necessary. Moving on to the consultation itself.
I take each point bit by bit, Lloyd? Otherwise, I'll not probably cover all your points. It's up to you.
Okay, as long as I can come back. Thank you. Yep.
So we've got the transport model, and we've got the fact that we're accepting the numbers that we were given before the algorithm.
Yeah. The traffic model, this was raised last week at the local plan panel. We're not going in blind on the transport modelling. There has been an amount of transport modelling that's already been done that was based around the strategy, the overall strategy that we've got. So officers are confident that the traffic modelling is sound. There are small areas which need addressing as the sites have come forward, and that is perfectly normal. But it takes KCC 6 months to do these. We submitted, it's not going to be feasible for every council to wait 6 months for traffic modelling once they've selected their sites. So I think this is probably going to be the way that a lot of councils have to operate going forward. It's just unfortunate, but we haven't gone into this blind. We have done some earlier traffic modelling based on the strategy, and we're confident that it won't throw up any unresolvable issues. What was your second point?
It was about the numbers, Councillor Baldock.
Oh, yes. The government have indeed stepped back from their higher algorithm, but the earlier algorithm is what we're currently working on, which indicates 1,038, well, the current figure that we're working to. They may come back with something in the next couple of months. They may also come back with something a lot higher than we've currently got. It may be between our current figure and the figure that the previous algorithm showed. We don't know. So we have a local plan that can deliver this amount. It seems prudent to do so. We need to get these agreements in so that we have a 5-year housing supply, because as you're aware, we've fell out of a 5-year housing supply in February 2019. We've just gone back into a 5-year housing supply, but that is based on this local plan going forward. We have to have the review done by 2022-23, so there's no real good reason to delay this. As that's just going to leave us vulnerable at the end of our current period. It takes a while to get through the examination in public and go through the process. So, and again, this is something that councils up and down the country are going to be struggling with, a constant cycle of 5-year reviews, which the work on which can often take the best part of 3 years to get done. So, like many councils, we're in this position. I think it is prudent to go for what we know we can deliver rather than risk having an even higher amount thrown on us. And I don't think there's many people would expect that the council is going to come back with a lower figure than their previous target.
Can I just add to that, Councillor Baldock? The figure of just over 1,000 is what we were advised when we came into office. It's what our planners have been working on for the last 2 years. The algorithm, with its increase of nearly 500, was something of a left field development, which would have just made all the work we've done impossible. Fortunately, because that was mad, it was removed by the government. But as far as we are concerned, we're back where we were, following officers' advice of the numbers that we are required to meet at this stage. Councillor Bowen, you had a third point for Councillor Baldock.
I've got quite a bit more, actually, if I may. It seems a lot of unfortunates this evening. If I was a developer, I'd be thinking it's actually quite fortunate because it's opening up potentially more land. But I have another question. Does that therefore allow the MPPF, allow housing in the future local plan, to be included in a current 5-year supply? I'll let Councillor Baldock think about that before I move on. In terms of the consultation...
I didn't understand the question, Lloyd.
No, I didn't.
Does the housing of a future plan count towards the current 5-year supply? The 5-year supply wouldn't have any figures beyond 5 years.
So no, but does the MPPF allow housing in a future local plan to be included in the 5-year supply or in the current 5-year supply?
We're presuming on its delivery, but Jill will probably be the best person to confirm exactly the position on that. Sorry, Jill.
Thank you. Yes, in a nutshell, yes, because we believe the sites that we have in the local plan review, that many of them will come forward in the first 5 years, that they are deliverable sites and therefore can count towards our supply.
Thank you. In terms of the consultation, respectfully, with the council that came in saying they want to be more open and transparent and give greater say to residents, and what's actually happening here is that there's been no consultation with parish councils, no consultation largely with ward members, and when and if this is agreed by council next week, the public could comment, but the council aren't going to do anything with those comments other than bundle them up into a nice little package and send them to the inspector. The comment was made earlier about it's a slow process. Frankly, on this one, actually, it's not slow enough. 6 weeks to give people the opportunity to read through a 1,000-page document is not open and transparent, I would say. There have been concerns... concerns have been raised at local plan panel meetings, which have been ignored by ward members or brushed aside by the cabinet members, including from fellow cabinet members regarding my ward and Tenham and Linstead. Specifically in my ward of Tenham and Linstead, this is the area that causes the biggest concern across, I think, the entire borough. As I said last week, I think we're being used as a dumping ground, but the bypass. You want to add more homes and traffic adjacent to an AQMA or the AQMA5. That's going to add further congestion along the whole of the A2 and cumulative impact on the AQMAs at East Street and Osprey. But you don't have a solution, or the local plan has not got a solution for that. The particulate matter presents the greatest threat to residents and workers near to the persistent repetitive congestion of sites. But we're only seeing one of the pollutants, NOx, identified by the government. There are others. And even if we do use the NOx figures, the diffusion tubes have not been reliable. The information which we've had from diffusion tubes, which were above head height, so it wasn't collecting enough data. And then, so anything before January 2019, where it was corrected, is useless, and yet we're using this data going forward as part of this plan. The plan also refers.
Do you want to answer any of those?
Yeah, Lloyd, it's give Councillor Baldock the chance to respond okay. to some of the points. You are bearing down in a granular way on your own ward, which you did last week, and I presume you're going to do it again next week. But give him a chance to answer, particularly the barb you put in about, you know, lack of consultation, which before Councillor Baldock answers, this we've reached this point after a lot of discussion. It seems to me it's perfectly possible that ward members could have discussed quite a lot of this before. But anyway, Councillor Baldock, would you like to respond to some of Councillor Bowen's points?
Yes. I'd just like to say the comments raised at previous meetings were not ignored. They were included and then debated and voted on. So it's not that the Cabinet were ignoring what people said. But, you know, the local plan panel listened to comments, made comments, and then voted on things. So I'm not sure there is any other process other than, you know, listening, debating, and voting. So they certainly weren't ignored. And every issue that's been taken up, I know officers look at and consider. We shouldn't really detail too strongly on one area, but I would say that Councillor Bowen's comments about useless data, nothing before January 2019, on that basis, we wouldn't be able to deliver anything anywhere. You know, if all the data is to be useless and not to be considered before 2019, and that's the reason not to build a housing somewhere, you know, we wouldn't be able to put a single development through. So it's unfortunate that the previous administration for so long kept poor records and inadequate data. We've had to work with what we've got, and it's the same across the borough. So that's what we've had to work with. But it isn't all just about air quality in Tenham. It's about the quality of life of people along the A2 and living adjacent to the A2. I've had people get in touch with me saying how, you know, they're looking forward to it because it would give the town a village feel again. They'd feel safer in their own high street, safer crossing the road without the HGVs. So it's a two-way stream. You know, some people are going to like it, some people aren't. That's understandable. We will probably hear more from those who don't like it than those who do, which is always the way. And I'd also like to address the idea that we're just going to dump all this stuff on the inspector when it comes through. No, our officers will be going through every response. They will be summarising and responding to the points that are made. We will look at those responses, and if there is a showstopper, if there is something in there that makes us think again, then we will think again. But our officers will be reading and analysing and commenting on every comment that comes in, and I can assure Councillor Bowen of that.
Which is what's always happened. Lloyd, I've got other people waiting, and you are a visiting member. Can I go on to Ben Martin now?
I've got just a couple more points. One's quite fundamental for me. Still staying on with the air quality. The air quality levels affect the area within roughly 1 kilometre of the area in which they're at their worst. So even if you do build this bypass, it's not going to particularly relieve any pressures within the A2 Green Street. So I think that's a false economy. On the actual within the plan itself, it refers to the A2, and as Councillor Baldock has just said himself, as a high street going through the centre of Tenham. Well, that's rubbish. There is no high street in Tenham. The A2 runs through between Tenham and Linstead. The centre of Tenham is not the A2. And that needs to be changed within the local plan, because if that's not corrected for the local inspector, they won't know the difference. But it is two parishes that converge on the A2. It is not the high street at the centre of Tenham. And my final point for this evening is I saw the amendment or the paper that came out about sites. If anyone could explain a little bit more about the rationale why 500, is it, plus houses have been removed from a site in Swale, I'll be very grateful, because it just seems a little bit odd. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments about the Tenement Limited. That is very well made, and I'm sure that officers will make sure that is clear, because, yes, you are quite right. I made a mistake as well with that. Everybody thinks of it as Tenham, but it is at two parishes, you're right. The Wises Lane allocation, which is the one I imagine you're referring to, well, that has to come out because the developers spent 2 weeks arguing that their allocation wasn't deliverable, and KCC said their allocation wasn't deliverable. So any allocation that isn't deliverable has to come out by default. If the Secretary of State decides that it got the wider application that they made, which was beyond the local plan allocation, goes in, then so be it. But if he decides that it shouldn't go in, but it doesn't give it permission, then what we're left with is an allocation that is undeliverable. Obviously, we have to take that out.
Okay. Can I have Ben Martin now, please?
Thank you, Leader. I'll start by echoing the comments of yourself and Councillor Baldock with regard to the work done by the staff. And it's not just been the planning staff, it's staff from other areas of the council as well who have contributed. And I know that the planning officers have appreciated it, and I know the amount of communication with other teams has been appreciated by them as well, and certainly by myself as Cabinet Member for Housing. And I'm glad that Councillor Baldock has worked as closely as he has with me on there. I just wanted to welcome the amendment to policy DM15 on affordable housing, which will make it easier for groups such as community-based or community-led housing groups and almshouses to be able to contribute to the supply of affordable housing within the borough, as well as the registered providers. We know that registering to become a registered provider of affordable housing can be a timely and costly process. And for those groups that are looking and just starting out and looking to provide affordable dwellings within their own local area, this will be a welcome change and a good change of pace. I'd also like to say, in general, the entire local plan does put more emphasis on the ability of affordable housing and bringing in a set requirement for developers to ensure that the affordable housing that is produced is of Homes for Life standard, and that there is an actual minimum figure required in terms of disability accessible dwellings within the affordable housing element is most welcome, and will not only save time for our officers having to negotiate with developers to secure that housing, but also make it far easier for those who are in need of adapted accommodation on our housing register to actually get suitable accommodation in a faster and more timely manner. I think the plan, as has been said, none of us would want the numbers of housing that we're being required to deliver, but we are in a housing crisis, and this is what we have been told to deliver. And I think it's been done in a very good way. I think this is the least worst option available to us. And actually, there's a lot of positives in this, and I do welcome it.
Yes, it always helps to look at the positives rather than some of the fringe negatives that we have inevitably get. So, Councillor Valentine, I was hoping you're coming in.
Thank you, Leader. I'm sure you'd have been disappointed if I didn't. I want to say that there is much that I like about the local plan, and in particular the policies that have been mentioned. I think we're delivering good outcomes on biodiversity. We're pushing the limits on improving energy efficiency. There's good provision of affordable housing, and there's welcome emphasis on active travel. In terms of the timescale of the plan, I understand why it has been brought forward as quickly as it has. And in terms of the government algorithm, we have had the threat, which perhaps was driving our particular haste more recently. That threat has been lifted. Of course, we don't know what it will be replaced with. And I suspect the Cabinet Member for Planning might be correct in suggesting that the numbers are unlikely to go down. But I do think that perhaps we do have an opportunity to pause and reflect a little We may not have to rush as much as we had to avoid the higher limits that were being rushed in by the government. I do think the consultation has been limited. Even as a cabinet member, I feel I haven't had sufficient input to the consultation on this. The cabinet tends to have been presented with recommendations from the local plan panel, which we're there to accept or not. But we've not been involved in the discussion that has delivered to much of that. And particularly, I mean, with reference to the spatial planning rather than the policies. And I feel comments that I've made to the local plan panel have been ignored. A cabinet member for planning wondered what else he could do. Well, I would suggest what he could do is consider the comments and come back with revised proposals that take account of the concerns that have been raised. And I think that is what has been missing. We seem to have had a very rigid plan. And in fact, we've been told that we can't question a site unless we put forward another site. And that brings me to an issue about the numbers. So, first of all, the cabinet member for planning said there is no plan B.
We appear to have lost Councillor Valentine.
So I'm taking these figures from the update that's just been tabled, that the numbers for the plan period that we require is 16,606, and that we should perhaps have a 10% margin over those numbers in the plan. But the scenario that's being put forward has 18,840 houses in it. And another scenario that fares very well in the appraisal is scenario four, which removes some of the development at Minster, at Tenham, at Queenborough and Rushenden and Tenham, and instead has development at Bobbing. That delivers even more houses at 19,390. And yet we've got a site in here at Neames Forestall, which is in my ward, for 90 houses, which will involve building in the ANOB. I just wonder why we are building in the ANOB when we don't even need the number that site delivers. As the ward member, I have not been consulted on that development whatsoever. And I'm very disappointed with the way it's come forward. The policy that has been put in, I think, could be very much better. For example, the residents of Neames Forestall are being offered a community orchard. Of course, we're in an area where we are surrounded by orchards. When the development at Cleve Hill offered the residents a community orchard, they said, no, thanks very much. And it wasn't delivered and wasn't replaced with anything. So I think a little consultation could have improved the plan very much. I also share the concerns that Councillor Bowen has raised about Tenham and the bypass. I mean, as cabinet member for environment, which takes in air quality, I don't support the idea of just having a short bypass around an air quality management area. It doesn't solve the fundamental problem. It's just playing games with the statistics. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. Councillor Baldock, do you want to respond? A lot of Councillor Valentine's...
Nothing new there to respond to. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you. Okay.
You see my point, Leader?
No, not at this stage. Is there anybody else who wants to come in on recommendation three? Okay, right, Councillor Baldock, would you take us to recommendation four then?
Thank you. This is to grant delegated authority to the Planning Policy Manager and Head of Planning Services in consultation with the Cabinet Member for Planning to agree minor amendments to the documents that are non-material prior to submission and during the course of the examination if required. This is a fairly standard thing that normally occurs on these documents.
Okay, I wouldn't have thought there's any comment on that, but if there is, would anybody like to come forward? Okay, so we've reviewed the recommendations. Everybody, of course, has read all the 1,000 pages of the local plan and all the other documents that we've had. The impact, as I can see it, of this meeting is that if we agree these four recommendations, then it goes forward to full council next week, and where I expect there will be a vigorous debate on what we've already established is a very, very important part of the council's business, and everybody will be able to strut their stuff on that occasion. So I'm actually going to put the four recommendations to the vote by cabinet members, collectively all four. So
I'll second that, Chairman.
Okay. That's right. We need a proposer and a second. I've proposed from the chair and the deputy leader has seconded. So those in favour or those against? Councillor Baldock?
Agree.
Councillor Bonney?
Agree.
Councillor Harrison?
Agree.
Councillor Benjay?
Agree.
Councillor Richard Palmer?
Agreed.
I agree. Councillor Tim?
Against.
Okay. All right, well, that is passed. And I look forward with relish to the debate next week at the council meeting. It'll probably be longer than we spent on this evening. But thank you very much to all members of the cabinet and other members and officers and any members of the public who have attended the meeting this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, leader.
Cheers all and good night.
Good night.
Good night. No, not bode well, does it?